Now we're holding on page 152 in Bhavavasra Ois Samachbez. The last couple of stories involving Chachamim traveling in different places. Page 152 in Bhavavasra. One time Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua were traveling together on a ship. Rabbi Eliezer was sleeping and Rabbi Yeshua was awake. Aside from that, that's what drives the rest of the story, is Ion Yaakov points out, you know, you can also learn from it a proper way of derech eretz. You're going in a dangerous place, for example, on a ship, which especially then was a lot, was fairly dangerous. Don't both sleep at the same time. Someone should always be awake in case there's an emergency. Anyway, v'hoi Rabbi Eliezer Yoshin, so Rabbi Eliezer was sleeping, but Rabbi Yeshua Neir and Rabbi Yeshua was awake. Nizdaza Rabbi Yeshua, all of a sudden Rabbi Yeshua was startled and shaken. Venina Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer woke up. Omalei says, Mazel Yer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Mazel Yeshua, what happened to Yeshua? Mepne man nizdazata, why were you shaking? Omalei says, Rabbi Yeshua says, Mor Godo Reisi Bayam, I saw a tremendous bright light in the sea. Amalei, Rabbi Eliezer answers him, Shema Einav Shel Levyosan Reisa. Maybe what you saw is the eyes of the Levyosan, Dichtiv, as the Pasuk says about him, Einav Kaf Ape Shochar. His eyes are like the eyelids of the dawn, meaning as bright as the dawn. That's how bright the eyelids, imagine the eyes themselves of the Levyosan. So this great light that you saw in the sea might have been the Levyosan. Now, we mentioned the Levyosan briefly in one of the previous stories. Soon the Gemara is going to go into a long discussion about the Levyosan and the Shor HaBor and all of that. So what was this great light that he saw? Maharsha points out that the Gemara tells that, first of all, earlier in the Masechta, we had a Machloikas, Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua, what happens to the sun at night? We talked about that the idea that, according to one opinion, Ruach Tzfonis Einem Mesubeves, the north side of the world is not surrounded by the Rakia, and therefore the sun goes above it, and according to the other opinion, it is Mesubeves, it is closed in on that fourth side as well, and the sun goes behind it at night. We talked about the various meanings of that. In any case, but you also have in this connection a relevant Gemara in Pesachim where it mentions over there. We talked about that also earlier in this Masechta. And in that connection, we have a machlokes between the Chachmei Yisrael and the Chachmei Umas HaOlam. What happened? Another way of looking at what happens to the sun at night, whether it goes l'mayla min Rakia or whether it goes below the earth at night. So now Rabbi Yeshua says that I saw Mor Godo Reisi Bayam. Maybe what I saw is I thought I saw the sun going underneath the Tehoim at night. But Rabbi Eliezer tells him nothing of the sort, following his own shitta, that the sun goes L'mayla min Rakia. Then he says it can't be that you saw the sun. What you saw is the eyes of the Levyosan. And because, as we're going to talk about soon, which we're going to talk about the Levyosan, is meant to be the famous Suda for the Tzaddikim Osad Lavoi, meaning that it represents the most refined kind of Gashmius, therefore you saw it as a tremendously bright light in the sea. Ion Yaakov points out another angle on it as well, why Rabbi Yeshua was startled at the very beginning of the Sugya, the very first story that we had here from Rabbi Baba Chana, as he said, the sailors told him that a wave that threatens to sink a ship has a fringe of white fire at the tip of it. So Rabbi Yeshua thought that when he saw such a wave, and therefore that's why he was startled until Rabbi Eliezer told him, no, it's the eyes of Levyosan. Okay. Deeper meanings behind the story. So there's a number of Mephoshim talk about the idea that the Rabbi Eliezer sleeping and Rabbi Yeshua being awake refers to their different approaches about what should be with the what's going to be with the Jewish people in the darkness of Golus. They both lived through the Churban. So one way of looking at it, Rabbi Eliezer is completely fakift in Torah and asleep to the outside world. Rabbi Yeshua is awake to and focused on what's going on in the world at large as well. So there's different possibilities within that Rabbi Eliezer is asleep, Rabbi Yeshua is awake, and then Rabbi Eliezer tells him what you saw, this great light that you saw in the sea, and you're thinking, as Ion Yaakov says, it might be something dangerous. This is a light that's gonna benefit us, lost and lovely. So we'll live through Golus with the knowledge of that. An interesting explanation that Rabbi Yeshua sees the light. He sees far into the future, the light of how the Goyim are going to offer civil rights and all kinds of things like that. And Rabbi Yehuda tells him, you know what, there is taka what to be concerned about. That might be, what does the Leviathan do? It swallows all the other fish. So they may be doing that in an attempt to swallow us up among them. So we should know the light is there. By all means, you know, use that light, but be aware of the potential danger in it. And then there's the Degel Machne Ephraim, the grandson, I think it is a great grandson, I don't know, grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, gives an explanation like this, that we know that originally the Eibishter created a light that goes misofa olam bad sofa. And then they hid it away, as we know Rashi says in Parashas Bereishis, and it was hidden in the Torah. So Rabbi Yeshua sees this bright light in the sea. So the question is, if it's there, if it's so easily available, and it's in Torah, why don't more people learn Torah? Why are there so many people who ignore it? So Rabbi Yehuda answers him, you know what? What you saw is the eyes of Leviathan. Leviathan, the Russian Yelava Ishi Elai, a person who connects himself, who joins himself constantly to the Eibishter, will be able to realize that the urge that you can see is so far the man so far is in the Torah. A regular person doesn't feel themselves that they want to be connected to the Eibishter, therefore they don't perceive that great light that you just did. So that's what Marashah says. Mora means the sun. So that's because he thought he saw the sun under the water following his shitta, which is the shitta of the Chachmei Umas Olam, that the sun goes under the underground at night. Which, by the way, has implications of halacha. It's the reason why when we do Mayim Shalanu, the reason why we have to draw it before Shkia is because based on that, then the Mayonis, the springs, the Gemara points out over there in Sochim, are warmer at night because they're heated up by the sun, and you want the coldest possible water for Mayim Shalanu. So, yeah. The Gemara says another story, Omer Avashi, Omerli Huna Bar Nosan. Huna Bar Nosson told me the following story. Huna Bar Nosson was one of the Amuroim. He was a Talmud of Rav Ashi. We find also he was the Reish Galusa. He was the political governor of the Jews in Bavel. You have a famous story in Zvachim, which the Rebbe quoted any number of times, where one time he's standing in front of the king and his belt has slipped out of place, and the king himself, Bechvoide of Atme, puts it back in place and tells him you have to be Mamlachas Koyin in Vigoy Kodesh. Anyway, so Huna Bar Nosson told me as follows. Zim Nechoda Havaz Linen B'madbara. One time we were traveling in the desert. We had a leg or we had a thigh of an animal, a thigh of meat with us. Pasachna, so we opened it up, we cut it open. Venekuna, and we did the nikru, we took out the gidanosha and whatever else doesn't belong. Va'anachna a'isvi, and then we put the thigh on some grass. And we went to collect wood to roast it. Adamai sin and sivi, by the time we came back with the wood, cholam atma, the thigh had closed back up. The cuts that we had made in it to remove the gidanosha had closed up because of the Gemara is going to say soon, the grass that they put it on top of was actually, they didn't know, was a special kind of herb that's able to knit together cut flesh. So now the whole thigh looks whole again, but minus the gidanosha, the tavine, so we roasted it. He had on the boss of Tresa Yahweh Shata, continues in Huna Bar Nosson. When we returned 12 months later, Chazinu Lahanu Gumri, we saw the coals of those of that wood, Dahabokam Machamimi or Malachi. They were still hot. Machamimi would mean hot. Malachi literally means whispering, which is like you have a Gecholim Loich Tresa. It means also like they're still burning. They're still giving off a lot of heat. So when I came to Amemar, who was Rav Huna Bar Nosson's Rebbe, Omali, he tells me, Ahu Ispa, Sir Rebbe, Amemar explained to me what happened over here. Ahu Ispa Samteri Hava. That grass that you put the thigh on top of was Samteri, which is an herb that has that ability to close up cut flesh. Rashi refers to, we learned in Bava Metzia, for example, we had an opinion over there of Shmuel, Hakol Baruach, that most people die of the effects of wind or air that gets into wounds, and the Gemara says, what if somebody has his head chopped off? And the answer is, even then, conceivably, if it weren't for the effects of the air and the germs that it brings with it, they could have put his head and reattached it to his body with Samteri. So that was, this grass was Samteri, and it connected everything back together. Marsha points out the name is very appropriate. Sam Tre means the cure, the elixir of two. It takes two things, two pieces that are cut apart and makes them into one. Anyway, Ahu Gumri, as far as the cause, the Risma Havu, those were cause of Roisim Wood, which we find those are the cause of that keep their heat for a long time. Famously, they're used as a metaphor for Lashon Hara. You have in Kapitel Kufchaf of Tilim, Chitze Gibushnunim in Gachle Risamim. And the reason is precisely that. Just as coals of roisin wood, broom tree, it's called in English, they can look very dead and innocuous from the outside, but inside they're still burning hot. The same way, so it is with Lashon Hara. It seems very harmless, but it can cause tremendous harm. So what's going on over here? A couple of Mefarshim talk about on different angles of it, that it's referring to people who are not where they should be in Avodah. So there, first of all, there's a sefer called Ben Choled. There's a well known sefer called Dvar Yom B'Yoma. I'm sure many people are familiar with it. It goes through every day of the year and talks about different divrei Torah that are appropriate for that day. And then Yotzites and then other special events in Jewish history and so forth. The author Reb Chaim Knoller was a Shinever Chassid. You can find it. It's a very popular sefer that I've quoted it a number of times too. Anyway, he also wrote a sefer on Agadah called Ben Choled. So he gives an explanation of it. He was going around in the desert of Olam Hazeh to see what needs to be correcting. We find people who are like an atma. The word atma, he says, Meloshon Otum. They're closed up. They're closed off to Ruchnius. So we're opening them up. We're trying to cut out the things that make them chafe, such as the Gid Anosha. And we left them. We figured, okay, they're living in an environment. It's true, there are Rishoyim over there, and Rishoyim are compared to grass. The Frech Rishoyim Kmeisev. We figured that, you know what, they can manage. But by the time we come back with wood representing Tzaddikim, they're right back to the way they were before. The effect that we had on them of trying to cut out the Yetzirah wasn't effective, because here you have it's in today's Rambam Perek Echad that the person has to live in a place of Tzaddikim and not live in a place of Rishoyim, because they're going to affect him. So now we roasted them. He says that means we gave it to them over the head. We gave them mustard. This time it taka help. 12 months later, the coals of our words are still burning in them. So now what happens is, afterwards, Amemer explains, the grass is samtri, meaning a grass, an herb that has this ability to join things together. We're talking about these are very persuasive Rishoyim, who are very, very good. Even you have somebody who made himself over into a complete Baal Tshuva, they're very good at convincing him to be the opposite. But then the Torah is like coals of Roisem, and it's long-lasting. Like the coals of Roisim, where the fire of them lasts for a long time. In fact, we find Roisim, he says also, you find the Roisim in connection with Eliyahu HaNavi. When he's running away, and he runs into Midbar Sinai and winds up by Har Sinai, the Pasuk says, first, Vayova Vayeshiv Tachas Roisim Echad, he sat under a Roisim tree, and that's where Malach gave him food, etc. And therefore, that means he also had a long-lasting effect on the people, just as in this Mashal over here, that eventually the Tamar Chachamim and the Bali Musa have a long-lasting effect on a person, as long as they separate him from the Samtari like Rishoyim. A variation on that is that we're talking about a person who basically was good. He's basically a piece of kosher meat, but he has in him in particular, he has a problem with Lashon Hara, so they have to cover, just compared to the Gid Anosha. So they have to cut that out of him, and he has to realize that, yeah, Lashon Hara is going to be something long-lasting and pernicious, just like the coals of Roisim would. So now we're done with the stories, and now the Gemara is going to turn to the matter of the Levyasim. The Pasuk says, Vayivra Elokim es ha-taninim ha-gdolim. Hashem created the great taninim. So what are the great taninim? Hocha taugimu, here in Babel, they explain, it means arzile diyama. It means the re'em of the sea. We had earlier in one of the stories, we had that Rav Baba Chana said he saw it and it was zila, which was a baby re'em. So here it means the re'em of the sea. Like we learned yesterday, the day before, the Gemara tells us in Cholin, every creature that exists on land, there's also a parallel to it in the water, with the exception of the Cholda. And therefore, since there's a re'em on land, there has to be a re'em in the sea. So in other words, Marshall says, Pashut, you know, if you have the Re'em is the biggest animal on land, what the Re'em is, there's a lot of different explanations, but anyway, so the same way, the largest creature that would be in the sea would be a type of Re'em, and that's the water parallel to the Re'em. So that's one explanation, which in that case, I don't know, maybe it could be a blue whale, which is actually the biggest known creature in the sea. Anyway, that was the explanation here in Bavel. Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, the Taninim of the Pasuk, Zeh Lev Yosem Nochash Bariach, V'Lev Yosem Nochash Akolosem. This means Lev Yosem, the straight snake, and Lev Yosem, the crooked snake. Rashbam explains, the Nochash Bariach, the straight one, is the male of Yosem. So it's straight, and it's straight, like a Bariach, like a bolt. The Nochash Akolosem, the crooked one, would be the female one, which is Makif, as Kol Olam, it surrounds the entire world. As the Pasuk says, by Yomahu on that day, when it's the Gula Mitzvah Hashlema, Yifkad Hashem B'chabrei HaKosher V'Gomer, Hashem will remember and punish with his strong sword. And the Pasuk continues, Alav Yosem Nochash Bariach, V'Alav Yosem Nochash HaKolosem, that Hashem will take his sword and kill off the straight Lev Yosem and the crude Lev Yosem, the male and the female, respectively. So there's a lot of different explanations and symbolisms of what the Lev Yosem represents. Hakosev brings over here from Ritva that they represent the different malchias. So here the Gemara is going to go on to say now that Hashem to begin with created a male and a female, but then only one of them was left alive. And in the Nimshol that means that you have the Zohar overpowers the Nekeva the same way as you have one malchus overpowers the previous one, and Hashem never allows that two of them together should be dominant over the Jewish people. So there's that. In Chassidus, you have the explanation. The Alter Rebbe has a mimer in Lakuta Torah that the Alter Rebbe talks about the Lev Yosem represents the high level tzaddikim from Alma de Skasia. They're like the fish that are covered over by the water and constantly aware of the water that gives them their chayos. Whereas the behemoths, the Sherd Abur that we're going to talk about soon, represents the lower level tzaddikim who don't have that total awareness. And you have the Gemaras all over the place that talk about different aspects of Lev Yosem. You have a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, for example, that mentions that, so to speak, every day Hashem plays with the Lev Yosem, which the Alter Rebbe also talks about in that Maimon, meaning, in other words, that there's a certain time of day, so to speak, when the Eved has Tainug from the Avodah of those high-level tzaddikim. So the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Kol ma shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu bara lamai, everything that the Eved created in his world, Zohar and Akev Abram, he created male and female. There's always going to be a Mashpia and a Makabel. The Lev Yosem was also created like that, as a male and a female. The point being, in other words, Marsha says that the fact that most creatures are created male and female, fine, because they need to propagate, they need to have children, and that requires a male and a female. The Lev Yosem, as Gemara is going to go on to say over here, there's only the save for the tzaddikim also lavai. Why does there need to be a male and a female? And the answer is because that's the way the Eved created all the Nevroim, is there's going to be male and female. However, if these two creatures would have relations with one another, the male and the female, then their children would be so gigantic, they would destroy the entire world, because they would have a lot of children, and then they would fill up the whole world. So what did Hashem do? Sidus is a Zohar. He castrated the male, so that it doesn't have any taiva anymore to have relations with other fish. Actually, Rashbam gives two reasons. First of all, that, so it doesn't have a taiva to go and have relations with other fish. And the other reason is Pashut. So it itself doesn't suffer from the fact that it has a taiva and doesn't have a way to fulfill it. So Sidus is Zohar, Vahoragas and the Keva, and then Hashem killed the female, Omochol Tzadikim Lasad Lavai, and salted it away to give to the Tzadikim. That's going to be the meal for the Tzadikim Lasad Lavai. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, that same Pasuk that the Gemara had started quoting before, by Yemahu Yifkad Hashem, the Pasuk finishes off, Vahoragas, after it mentions that Hashem will punish and destroy the Lev Yosem Nochash Bariach and the Lev Yosem Nochash Akolosem, the end of the Pasuk is Vahoragas Tanin Ashebayam, that Hashem will kill the Tanin that's in the sea. So, in other words, Marshal says that Rashbam says that, in other words, the Gemara is explaining the pasuk as follows: Yifkad Hashem b'chaber akasha, that in the future La'osid Lavai Hashem will deal with the Lev Yosem Nochash Bariach, just as previously he had dealt with the Lev Yosem Nochash Akolosen, namely v'harag as atan and ashebayam, that all the way back during Sheshes and Bereshes, the Eved had killed off the female, and there was only the male left. So, So what is all this? So what does all this represent? So Hakosef brings here from Ritva that like this, the Levyosan, one way of looking at it is the Levyosan refers to Chochma. The Chochma, especially of Torah, is called Livyaschein. So it's the same Shurdish as Levyosan. So now the Zohar then would represent the Chochma of Torah. The Nekeva then would represent Tivus of Gashmius. Now, if they got involved, if Niskokin Zelozeh, if a person had that he doesn't use the koyach of his guf at all and completely uses a seichel, then the world would be choriv, because then the person would be all seichel. He wouldn't have anything to do with the tzorchei guf. And a person needs. A person needs to eat. A person needs to have relations, etc. So therefore, so it's necessary that there be that, but it's also necessary that neither one of them should overpower the other. So therefore, in token of that, then we're saying that there was a male and the female, and Hashem got rid of one of them. Then Akosif goes on and brings a long, long explanation from the Rashba about what the Levyosan represents over here. Mostly what he focuses on, not so much what the Levyosan itself represents, but when we talk about, as the Gemara is going to say, that Hashem is going to use it for the Suda, for the Tzadikim La'asad Lavoi, are we talking about a Gashmiyastik Suda, or are we talking about something Ruchmiyastik? So one way of looking at it, he says, it can mean an actual Gashmias Tikasuda. There's going to be an actual physical fish called the Levyosan, and the Ebishter will serve it to the Tzadikim, Lasid Lavoi. Now, there comes a point, Lasid Lavoi, then, there comes a point when there's no eating and drinking, but before that, in other words, the idea is the last Gashmias Tikasuda meal that they'll have will be, like Marshall said before, the Levyosan is the most refined of all the Gashmias Tikasuda creatures, so that will be, they'll eat that. And then that'll prepare them for that. From then on, there's just Yoshem Vatzer Seim Berashem V'nenim Zivashchina. So the Rashba goes on goes into a long explanation about that, and then he explains, for example, when we talk about salting, represents keeping something for long term. So that's because that's what we're saying over here. The Eved is keeping this is the Sevyasin long term to serve some tzaddikim.
The Sharabah
the Gemara is going to get to next. Yeah. So
we need
to shut up also, yeah. So
fishing and meat.
Yeah. So for the fish and meat, yeah.
I think he waited with Kelly the cave for she
had those. Because that's the point. We said if they're part of a robber, if they're gonna have relations and have children, then not being
so
the Gemara is going to ask in a minute. The Gemara is going to ask why it wasn't enough to be Masadis. The Gemara is going to get to shortly why it wasn't enough to be Masadis the male. We'll get to that. In any case, yes. So the Rashba goes into a long symbolic explanation of what all this means. The Zohar is the Mashpia, the female is the Makabel, and then to have both of them alive represents, in other words, that there would be that people would similar to what the Ritva says means, in other words, people might be only seicheldik or only gashmius, and that would either one would destroy the world, and you need a balance between the two of them. And he goes on and he goes in a great arichos over here all about this. Okay.
Who's going to
shech the Sharabar? So the Gemara is going to talk about. So you have famously that the Levyosin is going to kill him with his fins. Yeah, the famous Torah Chadasha Meitzi Tate. So a lot of what we know about the Levyosin and the Sharabar comes taka from this Gemara over here. Or
the chalaf is not kosher.
The chalaf is on the face of it not kosher because the fish's fins are jagged, and anyway they're attached to the fish, and you can't shech with something that's attached. Yeah, so a lot of that is going to be discussed in the Gemara over here, and then a lot of it is also discussed in various midrashim. There's a famous Torah Chadosha Meiti Teitze that the Eved is going to give a Torah Chadosha at that point that it's kosher, that it's a kosher shechita. One of the major sources about it is also the Medrash Rabban Parshas Shmini, where it makes the point over there that those who are careful to eat only the kosher foods mentioned there in Parshas Shmini are going to be zeicha to the Levyosan and the Sharabur that we're talking about over here. Okay, continues the Gemara. Ba'af behemoth baharei olaf. Then you also have the behemoth, the animal, the great animal that lives in a thousand mountains. Pasuk in Tehillim. Rashbam explains it grazes on a thousand mountains every day. So that's how big it is. So the same thing, Zohar and the Kev Abram, the Ebishter created those also originally as male and female. Same problem, the Amalei Nizkok and Zeim Zeh. But again, if they had relations and had children, Machrivenes Kol Olam Kol, they'd destroy the whole world. Ma'aseh, Achadosh Baruch Hu. So what did Hashem do? In a similar vein, Sibes and Zazocher, Hashem castrated the male with sinanes and a keva. Here Hashem didn't kill the female behemoth. Instead, he cooled off that she shouldn't have a taiva for having relations. The Shomer, the Tzaddikim, lost the lover, and again, it's saved for the Tzaddikim, lost the lover. Kenema, as the Pasuk says in Eov, the Pesukim in Eov, near the end of the Sefer, Hashem, Eov has been complaining throughout the whole Sefer, I don't understand how Hashem runs the world, so Hashem himself comes to him and starts speaking to him and telling him, listen, you know, look, there's a lot you don't understand, and towards the end, Hashem speaks to him about the Leviathan and the behemoth, and tells him, you know, look at these gigantic creatures, and you have no idea how you wouldn't be able to control them in the slightest, and yet they're Nivroim of mind, just like anything else, so don't think that you know how the Eivishter runs the world. So you have many psukim that describe it back to back. The Gemara in this sugya, the Gemara is going to quote a lot of those psukim as we go along. So the pasuk says, "Hine nachoychei b'masnav." See now, his power is in his loins. Meaning, in other words, as Rashbam says, you know, he never gave out any zera. We have the Rambam mentions in Hilchos Deis. This was a couple of days ago in Perek Echad that shlichas zera is koyach haguf. So now his koyach has remained in his loins and has never been given away. But Oynei and his power, Beshure Bitnoi, is in the muscles of his stomach. Meaning the female also has never had to give any power towards giving birth. So Hine Nachoche B'Masnav Zezocher, V'Oynei Beshure Bitnoi Zenek Zunekeva. So we see that the Zocher and the Nekeva, the behemoths, are described like that, where the Zocher has been castrated and has never given off Zera, and the female has never given birth and still has its full power, Beshure Bitnoi. Okay, so the next piece, after that, the Gemara will explain why it dafka has to be that way. Why couldn't the Eivishter do the same thing with the female of Yosem? Why does he have to kill it? Why couldn't he be mitzanin it? Why are we saving the female for the meal, etc.? So that'll all be the next piece after this. Yom Yom Mashiach Gula, Yudimol Adu Aleph. The dirt of Ikvas de Meshicha, the Pasuk says, Loi b'chit pozin teitzeu, you won't have to leave Golos in a hurry. We had a few days ago in Tanya, where the Alter Rebbe talked about that. That's when the Geula begins. That's when the actual Geula and the going out of the Golos Bepoil begins. It won't have to be in a rush. But the last moments of Golos are different. The last moments of Golos, every moment is greater and greater and more important. Oidma, Yagir Shonim, Ashatema, Ein Lebehem Chayfetz, the Pasuk says, there'll come days when you'll say, I have no desire in them, which the Gemara says, before we see Yemos HaMashiach, so we have to use every moment in the most effective way. The piece for Yud Gimel of the Beis talks about the Tainus Esther is different from all the other public fasts in that it has nothing to do with the Churban directly. So therefore, when we talk about it being a Yom Ratzon, refers to the Binyan Beis Hamikdash of the Gula Asidah. But Tainus Esther is more something that doesn't have to do with the Beis Hamikdash, but Adrabah, it has a greater advantage compared to the other ones at the level of Tainus Esther, there's at the level of the Gilui of Tainus Esther, there's no difference between the status of Golos and of Geula. Mahalocha quickly in Hilchos Tzitzis Siman Yud. If a garment doesn't have four corners, it's potter from Tzitzis because it says Al Arba Kanfas Tzuska. But if it has more than four, it's Chayev because the pasuk says Asher Tachaseba, teaching us that if it has five, since five includes four, then you would in fact have to put Tzitzis on it. But because the ribui is only because you have four, therefore, that if it means it has five or more corners, you don't put Tzitzis on all the corners, you put them only on four of them. If you put more, then it would be an Isser of Bal Tosif. You have to put them on the corners that are furthest apart from one another. And that way you're doing the mitzvah.